Father, we thank you for your word. Let it be a lamp for our paths and a light for our hearts. Amen. Let's start at the very beginning. No, I'm not going to sing. You'll be very, very glad to know that. We're starting at the beginning of Psalm 103. Subject for our next sermon series, as Matthew was saying. And you may or may not know, and I certainly didn't, that the great and popular hymn that we sang right at the start is a loose reading of Psalm 103. It's based on Psalm 103. The hymn was written by an Anglican church clergyman called Henry Francis Lyte, with a Y, L-Y-T-E. And it was published in 1834. Even I don't remember 1834. It was quite a while ago. But it remains a really popular hymn today. It was number 22 in a recent poll of favourite hymns. And Lyte also wrote Abide With Me, so he's got two good ones, at least. The text, as I say, rephrases Psalm 103. When writing the hymn, he tried to maintain the spirit of the words while freely paraphrasing them. It's using beautiful imagery, thoughtful prose, and themes like the love of God, healing, forgiveness, and including the repeated exclamation, "Praise him, praise him." It is a spectacular statement of praise. But the sermon's not about the hymn. The sermon is about the psalm, using the inspired words of the hymnodist as our starting point. So, right at the start of the psalm, we read, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name." He's using David, the writer, uses a conventional Hebrew way of addressing yourself, my soul. We are listening into a man or an individual reminding himself to express worship and adoration. Oh, my soul, the equivalent of writing a to-do list. Remember to praise the Lord. The praise, worship, and adoration on the list is to be given to the Lord, to praise his holy name. In his very personal translation of the Psalms, Alec Mateer uses the phrase, "Bless the name of his holiness," a more encompassing phrase, he calls it, because the name of the Lord is precious. The Lord's glory is beyond our comprehension. So using that more open and abstract phrase allows for more contemplation of the glory of the Lord. This is a psalm focused and founded on praise of the Lord. The hymn is similarly built and focused on and full of praise. The title of the sermon I was given is Ransomed, Healed, Restored, Forgiven. What a great phrase. That's one of the things that you always remember when you remember this psalm. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. I recall it all the way from school assemblies back at Bramhall Grammar School. And I don't like to think how many years ago that was. But where do those words come from in Psalm 103? They're not all obviously there. Like I say, it's a free paraphrase. Looking closely shows where that ringing phrase comes from. Verse 2, 3, "Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins." And verse 3, "and heals all your diseases." Verse 4, "who redeems your life from the pit." Redeem, ransom, very similar concept. And verse 5, "your youth is renewed like eagles." Your youth is restored. They're in a different order in the psalm, but I'm going to go with the hymn's ranking. So let's start with ransomed. Ransomed, to obtain the release of a hostage or a prisoner by making a payment demanded. That's what ransom means. Redeemed is to fulfill or carry out a promise, to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. The concepts are both very similar. The exchange of something at a cost. The recovery of something that had come to be in the possession of someone else by paying the price demanded. So why are we singing that we've been ransomed? Who's captured us? We have been captured by sin, imprisoned, ensnared, entrapped, enchained by the world, its temptations, its distractions. We are not praising the Lord with our full heart and mind and body and soul. We're headed into danger, the threat of life, eternal life without God. The way to restore our relationship with God came at a cost, a sacrificial cost. The cost was Jesus leaving his glory above the angels and living and dying as a man. And by the resurrection, enabling us to know the Father's unending love for us. We were captured by sin. We have been ransomed by Jesus. It's the image of the pawnbroker buying back. It's the image of the slave market, Jesus paying the price to buy our freedom. We are redeemed or ransomed at a huge cost. And our response should be, it is, to praise the Lord. Second, healed. We're only too aware of our weaknesses and frailties. If I've learnt anything in the pandemic, it's that I'm not invulnerable. I'm scared. Scared of catching a disease that's so unpredictable. We are used to the power of medicine to relieve pain, to eradicate illnesses, to bring us back to health. As Christians, we are also aware of the healing miracles of Christ. I'm willing to guess there's quite a few people here today who would appreciate, love to receive a healing miracle for a loved one, or even for themselves. Our God is a God who cares and a God who heals. But again, that healing comes with a price. The price that Jesus paid. Listen to Isaiah 53. Surely he bore our pain and took our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The healing may not be a restoration of physical health. It may be. It may not be the removal of a weakness or infirmity, but it may be. It may not be lifting the cloud of depression and mental health, but it may be. But healing that is vital, crucial, critical, and eternal is healing our relationship with Father God. That is the most significant healing any of us needs. That's the healing we sing about, and that's the healing we should pray for. Restored. Verse 5, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The song says restored. The Bible says renewed. The words again are very similar in meaning. Recovery of something that's no longer there. In this case, youth. The enthusiasm of the day you first felt the love and joy of the Lord in your heart and mind and soul. The love of the Lord in your life. But I think we need to think about why they use the image of the eagle. It's used frequently across the Bible. The famous passage, again in Isaiah. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There are about 30 references to eagles across the Bible, mainly in the Old Testament. The eagle is a symbol of strength, power, freedom. When I was reading around this, there are some wacky ideas about why they use the term of the eagle. People say that when an eagle's 40 years old, it retreats to a mountain, breaks its beaks and talons, so they're restored and renewed to new strength. Somebody else thinks that 5 years old, the eagles lose all their feathers and grow them again and look like a new bird. Alec Mattia says, the idea that an eagle can renew itself is unfounded. Or to put it bluntly, those stories are not true. Eagles are just like all birds, they molt throughout the year. that don't live to be ancient by breaking the beaks off. But what is true? Eagles are big, powerful birds who soar high and fly freely. They are the expression of youthful strength. The image of that verse is put differently in the Message translation. He renews your youth. You're always young in his presence. Or in the Amplified version, your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming, soaring. That's what's renewed. A restoration of overcoming strength and soaring will be useful. However, what we have here is an image of faith, an image of trust, of hope being restored, of freedom to live and work and trust the goodness of the eternal God Almighty. We can all be renewed daily in that way. Forgiven. This word comes first in the passage. It's the last word in the phrase in the hymn. It's the key and most important word. We are ransomed, healed, and restored because we are forgiven. We have proof of forgiveness through Jesus. He atoned for our sins. He enabled us to be at one with God. We are forgiven. Forgiveness is everywhere in the Bible. 1 John. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We have all sinned, but we can all receive forgiveness when we come before the Lord with a broken, contrite heart. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time that my mother conceived me. But, we have Jesus on our side. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And because we're forgiven, we are forgiving. We forgive others. John 20. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. With that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Forgiveness is the heart of God's message. Forgiveness is the key to our restoration to God. We need to ask for and accept forgiveness. We are blessed to be able to have the hope of heaven, hope of eternal life in the presence of God, because of atonement, because of Jesus, because of forgiveness. So to sum up, ransomed. We are ransomed. The price is paid. We are healed. Our souls are revitalized by the joy of the Lord. Restored, we are invigorated to praise. Forgiven, welcomed into relationship with the holy, perfect God. And all of this is possible, not because of our efforts, our words, or our work. It's possible because of Jesus. We need that relationship with Jesus in our lives. So to sum up, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. With all that is in me, praise the Lord. Amen.